Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Back inside Patriots Playbook for a Thursday on Patriots.com Radio. I'm John Rook. We're now, let's see, how many days we got? Let's see, 7, 8, 9. Well, 10 days away now and counting. apologies for yesterday. Basketball duties took precedent, unfortunately, on the road in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but back in the playbook today. And if you did not get a chance to listen into Tuesday's show, we kind of laid the land out for you as far as what next week's schedule is going to be like. You know that Fred and the guys will be in Indianapolis with PFW in Progress next week, beginning on Tuesday. And then I will be here in the playbook from Gillette Stadium on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday next week. And Pete will also be here on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
There will be, I don't think, Fred announced it on Tuesday, but we haven't announced a time for it yet. But we aren't doing our traditional pre- and post-game programs at the day of the Super Bowl.
Okay.
But there will be a special program from the PFW guys live from Indy on Saturday. But we have not figured out a time yet. I think Fred wants to get there next week and get up and running and then decide.
And decide what time is best. So there will be some another special program.
Bonus program.
Bonus programming right here on Patriots.com Radio from the Super Bowl. All right. Excellent. So in the meantime, we're going to hold down the fort here. And we're going to still be here. And we're going to talk to you. And we're going to break it all down. Now, I promised you this week that I wasn't going to break anything down as far as X's and O's. Really, until next week, because this is sort of like a bye week here. And I did get a couple of emails, Kevin, asking if we were going to play game show Wednesday or Thursday this week because it was a bye week. And, you know, as much as I would love to do that, I think it's probably
It's the Super Bowl.
It is the Super Bowl. It's probably run its course for this week, so or for this year. But I promise you, bye week next year, game show Wednesday will make a comeback, okay? It will definitely make a comeback. In the interim, it is Thursday, and so Thursdays do mean Russell Baxter joined us in the playbook from ProFootballGuru.com. So Russell will be here in the second hour of the program. And we're going to kind of take a look at some of the stories, really, from this season, but how we got to where we are. Not just the Patriots, but how the season sort of unfolded. And you know, Russell, if you've listened to him before, he's as good as finding reasons for stories that happen. You know, looking between the lines, finding the numbers, finding the stats, finding the trends, making you the educated person at the water cooler, so to speak. And Russell's going to do that. We're going to look back on 2011, recap it, and then bring it forward. Push it into the Super Bowl next week, and we'll do that coming up in hour number two.
Unfortunately, Russell was almost right about that Pats-Ravens game.
He
we'll
was.
Have to talk to him.
He was
he did pick the Ravens.
He was the only person last week via email or by telephone or by Facebook, whatever. He was the only person that picked the Ravens to win the game. The only one. And we even had emails from Baltimore last week. But nobody, if they were Ravens fans, they didn't have the guts to pick the Ravens. Because I did not see, my eyes did not see one email last week that picked the Ravens. Russell was the only one, and he darn near he almost nailed it. So we'll ask him his thoughts on that. And
Russell was probably cursing that damn Sterling Moore character for making him wrong.
No question. But by the way, because we do have Russell and because we have extra time really this week, since there's no game this week, it's a rare opportunity to have Russell to kind of look back at other stories. So what I wanted to do, one of the two things that I wanted to accomplish today here on the program, is to give you the opportunity to ask your question of Russell Baxter. We don't really have a chance to do that when he is on with us during the regular course of Thursdays, because we're focused on trying to get through the schedule, look at the key games, out of division, in division, out of league, in league, and look at all the matchups. And we usually, even though every given week there's, you know, 13, 14, 15 matchups, depending on if anybody has a bye week or not, and we usually look at a half a dozen, 6 to 7 key games that either the Patriots are involved with or indirectly involved with. And by that time is over, well, it's a 30-minute interview because, you know, Russell, he goes on. But I hate to cut him off because he's got good stuff. So this is a week that I want you, if you have questions for Russell Baxter, I want you to fire him forward at webradio@patriots.com. You can also put your question for Russell up on the Facebook page if you like. My Facebook page is John Rook, R-O-O-K-E, the last name. If you haven't submitted the friend request, you can do so. Gotten a lot of new ones in the last few days, which is great news. Means I have friends. And we'll answer the friend request, and you can chat, post, and you can use the whatever function on the page, that, you know, whatever it takes to, you know, get your message across. The message function, I guess that's as good as any, right? And so if you want to send your questions to Russell through me, that's fine. We can do that. You may have some questions for him. His background, if you don't know, he spent, 15, 18 years, I believe, as the chief NFL researcher for ESPN. And for a number of years, he was the only person amongst the thousands of employees in Bristol, Connecticut, whose full-time job was the National Football League 365 days a year. He left out to go out on his own and explore some other business ventures in the last year, one of which is his ProFootballGuru.com website. And he has quite a few followers on that website, as you might imagine. And he has graciously agreed this season to stay with us in the playbook and give us his thoughts and insights on the matchups each and every week throughout the NFL season. He's got an unbelievable wealth of knowledge. He's got an almost encyclopedic memory on events that have occurred in the past in NFL history, or at least, you know, since he can recall. And he's done quite a bit of research over NFL happenings before he was even with us on this planet. Russell is just about my age, so I think he's only been around, I think he's around 50 years old. Whether that means anything or not, he obviously hadn't been around for all 92 years of the NFL, but I was just saying that he knows a lot about a lot. And so if you have questions for Russell on the Patriots, on the Super Bowl matchup, on the Giants, on your other favorite team in the NFL, and what, you know, you're wondering, you know, how they did, why they did, and what will they do perhaps in the future, you can send it forward. Again, webradio@patriots.com and the Facebook page. Now, the other item of note, to be honest with you, kind of got stolen. I thought it would probably get done by somebody. And then, you know, as I'm doing my research today, I'm looking at several of the websites. And I have to admit, I think that ESPN Boston kind of stole my thunder a little bit, because I thought that, you know, we haven't had a good New York versus Boston knockdown drag out in a while. You know, we don't get a chance to do this much during football season because, well, it's always Jets week and we're always focused on the matchups. This happens a lot more around here in these parts during baseball week when the Red Sox are playing the Yankees. And I thought, you know, we really haven't had a good, you know, hissing match. So I thought this might be an opportunity today to do that. And I know we have Giants fans listening to the program. And I know there are a lot of Giants fans who are situated right here in New England. Just because it's a familial habit for them to root for the New York Giants, they were New England's team prior to 1960. And a lot would argue, even after that, until the AFL and the NFL merged in 1970, that the AFL didn't really get the credibility until it merged and became the AFC in 1970. So if you were a child of that era, I can understand you being a New York Giants fan. If you are the child of that era, in other words, your father, your grandfather were Giants fans, I can understand that to an extent. I hope also, though, that you kind of follow and root for the New England Patriots, since they have been here now for 52 years. But here's the question I have for you. Who's better and why? Boston or New York? Now, I realize that this is you know, we try to keep things with civil discourse, naturally. But I, you know, what I would like is I would like Boston fans primarily, if you feel like Boston has it over New York, and all things are on the table here. I'm not talking about just sports. I'm talking about, you know, restaurants. I'm talking about, you know, living. I'm talking about places to go, things to do, people to see, you know, the cities, I mean, whatever. It's all on the table here. This is Boston v. NY is what I'm kind of trying to go after here. And if you like Boston, great. Tell me why. If you think the sports teams are better, great. Tell me why. If you are totally New York, you're all about New York, then that's great. Let's hear from you today. This is an opportunity, special opportunity, I think, to, you know, get Boston and New York fans going at each other just a little bit, because they're going to be going at each other on the field in another 10 days or so. And next week we're going to spend time really trying to break down the matchups and look at the teams on the field. And, you know, and while we can certainly do a little bit of that now, I know we wanted to save Super Bowl week, you know, for the breaking news that's happening in Indianapolis and worry more about the game itself on the field. So this is a chance for us to do some of the periphery, do some of the other stuff that sort of surrounds the hoopla around the event, around the game itself. It's Boston versus New York. Now, I can kind of start this off by telling you that the only thing that really bothers me is I really believe, and I've been a New Englander now for almost 24 years, so almost a good solid quarter century have I lived in New England and followed New York teams, followed Boston teams, and I've come to this realization. The one big difference between Boston and New York has to do with class. New York fans are as arrogant as they come. Now, maybe that's because they feel they have a right to be arrogant. I don't, that's fine. I don't particularly care for that style. I just feel like Boston fans carry themselves a little bit better than New York fans. I think Boston fans clearly have more of a chip on their shoulder than New York fans, because Boston fans have not won as much as New York fans. But I've always thought that even in defeat, that Boston fans carried themselves with more grace, more dignity, more integrity even, than New York fans. New York fans are totally in your face, loud, obnoxious, prideful, yes, but also sore losers. Sore losers. Now, my general feelings here doesn't mean that every New York fan is a sore loser. And it doesn't mean that every Boston fan is a prideful, you know, full of class, you know, top-notch individual. Far be it from that. But this is a general sort of just observation that I've had over the 24 years that I've been here. And being a, you know, carpetbagger, being somebody who has the benefit of having lived in other areas and certainly traveled extensively in other areas of this country and had a chance to examine the culture and compare the culture to the culture that exists up here in New England and New York, why not do a little bit of the comparative game today? So, who's better, Boston teams or New York teams? Who's better, Boston fans or New York fans? Who's better, Boston or New York, period? Webradio at patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Come on, make it ring. Let's go. 508-298-0398. I'd love to have your perspective. I'd love to have your stories. Have you ever had a run-in, Patriot fans? You ever had a run-in with a Giants fan, or, for that matter, a Jets fan, a New York fan? Tell me about your experience, why you liked it, why you didn't like it, why you buddy up to New York fans, why you can't stand New York fans, you never want to be around them again. We're going to tell stories today. You got a story about a New York fan? And New York fans, you're listening. I know you are. Give me your Boston fan stories. And tell me why you think New York teams are better. New York fans are better. Why the Giants are better than the Patriots. Speak now or for really forever hold your peace. That's the way it works. 508-298-0398. Web radio at patriots.com, Facebook page, John, R-O-O-K-E, and hit me up on Twitter, at JRook0722, at JRook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722 is the Twitter page. Follow me on Twitter, and we'll share some of the comments with you. So there we go. Hopefully that will get you going a little bit today. Want to share some of your Boston versus New York memories and stories that you have, why you think one side is better than the other. Every time that I have come across a New York fan and they find out that I'm rooting for the Patriots. Well, I'll give you a good example. I did it today. Guy that I know does a talk show on a local radio station, and he wanted to talk to me about scoreboard gate, which is another opportunity for us to get into that conversation if you think there's anything to the story. I told him, well, that was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever heard, that, you know, what happened this last weekend with the scoreboard. First of all, the scoreboard numbers, if they're up and they show, they're not for the players. Scoreboards are in place for the fans. If there's ever any question at all about what down it is, what the distance is, even what the score is. I mean, first of all, shame on the players and the coaches for not knowing and not being involved enough in their own jobs to keep up with it all. Says something right there, doesn't it? But on top of that, the official rule is on the sidelines with the down and distance markers. The scoreboard is a matter of convenience, and it's there for the fans. It's there for the 68,000 people and the media that are there, and that's what it is. But the Ravens, of course, have been complaining over the course of the last couple of days that they felt like the scoreboard marker was wrong, and it caused Billy Cundiff to get out to the field late, caused him to rush his field goal kick and duck hook at 32 yards in a kick that could have sent it into overtime. Now, frankly, that is one of the lamest excuses I've ever heard. And, of course, T. Sizzle, Terrell Suggs, you know, there's not a foot that he won't put in his mouth. you ought to meet Rex Ryan. But he's kind of jumping on this thing, too. Now, it's a non-story. It's a non-starter. But, naturally, this guy who asked me about it, because I happen to sit next to the scoreboard operator, and I usually am there to, you know, mark the down and distance for her by checking with the official first, there were no improprieties. There were no phone calls from the sidelines. That's the most stupid, ridiculous thing I've ever heard. You know, Baltimore's just trying to, you know, drag, you know, New England into the muck and raise, you know, the specter of the whole Spygate incident from years ago. And it's just not going to work. They lost. They didn't convert when they had an opportunity. End of story. But the guy who asked me about it today, because he loves all things that are non-stories. He loves rumor. He loves innuendo. He just happens to be a diehard Jets fan. Diehard Jets fan. So I knew what he was getting at. And so to get to the original point here, he's a Jets fan. He loves to dig it to New England every chance he gets. Every chance he gets. And I know that New York fans do that. They never miss an opportunity to tweak New England fans, ever. Never, ever miss an opportunity to tweak fans. And I think that's part of the rivalry. Why is that? Because Boston and Boston fans have an alleged inferiority complex to New York? Why do Boston fans always put themselves on a different plateau from New York fans? And I think I just gave you an example of that by telling you that, you know, honestly, New York fans are just, they're snotty, they're obnoxious. They think they have a God-given right to whatever just because they're from New York and they follow New York teams. And I think that was part of the reason why, you know, Bostonians developed the whole hub of the universe thing a few years ago, almost as a defense mechanism to New York fans claiming to own the sports world themselves. The whole Boston-New York thing, I think, certainly got going because of sports. I mean, you can't really compare the two cities. Both cities have, you know, certainly their own charm and their own appeal. Love going to New York. I also love going to Boston. But Boston is about one-tenth the size of New York City. So you really can't compare the two. They're different. You know, I heard somebody say, well, the difference between New York and Boston is chowder. New York is Manhattan chowder. Boston is New England chowder. I'm sorry, there's no comparison there. White chowder is way better than Manhattan chowder. New England chowder is it's not even the same league. Not even in the same league. All you have to do is taste the difference. It's one of the things that I love most about the press box at Gillette Stadium is that for every home game, there's always huge steaming bowls of fresh clam chowder. Always. It's a tradition. And I know, well, good example, this last week, before the game against Baltimore, I look up at the, you know, from where I'm sitting with the extra press that was crammed into the press box on both levels this week, and who is at the chowder bowl, you know, the chowder trough, if you will, but John Clayton, the professor, ESPN's own, right? And I wanted to go up and say hello because obviously I know John, we're friends, and my son, Austin, the rookie, who was spotting for me this last week, and he goes, do you know John Clayton? And I said, well, yeah. He goes, can I meet him? Because he's a huge fan. I mean, if you don't, you know who John Clayton is. The guy is, you know, he's truly
been on the show.
Oh, he has been a guest on the show many times before. And he's as knowledgeable a person of the NFL as exists out there. So, yeah, I took the rookie up. We chatted with John Clayton, and all during our conversation, which went about 20 minutes, you know, and I was just going to go up and say hi, but, you know, he just engaged us both in conversation. He's just as nice as the day is long. And I hadn't had a chance to really see John. You know, it's usually over the phone for interviews and such over the last few years. So I hadn't seen him in a while and wanted to go up and you know, make nice and see how things were going for him. And he was very engaging with the rookie. And all the while this conversation was going on, he's munching on this bowl of chowder. And then he turns and he looks at me. As I said, I just finished mine. And he goes, isn't it great here? New England clam chowder has it over everything. Has it over everything. And here, this is from a guy who, you know, lives and works in Seattle, Washington. I mean, he spends a lot of time in Bristol. But, I mean, you know, he's a former beat writer for several teams around the league, and he kind of bases himself out of Seattle. He used to be the Seahawks beat writer as well. So this comes from somebody who has not been in the area all that long, other than to go to Bristol, Connecticut. And I think we all realize that Bristol, Connecticut is really not New England. It's not. I always thought that, you know, New England was really just five states, not six states, because Connecticut has never been a part of New England. Connecticut is eastern New York. Always has been, always will be. You could actually probably put a border from, like, New Haven east and say, okay, that could be part of New England. But west of New Haven? No. Nah. Actually, no, I'm going to take that back. Let's go east of New London. So we're talking about just that little sliver, east side sliver of Connecticut. New London eastward. You could say that's part of New England, but west of New London, forget about it. It's all New York within the state of Connecticut. Kind of how I look at it anyway. Web radio at patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. I think I threw him off the scent because we weren't here yesterday. I know you tried to do something yesterday, but we weren't here because, you know, hey, I have to go out on the road and make money. Fred doesn't pay me enough to stick around. It's the truth. It's the truth.
Straight cash, homie.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Randy had it right. Straight cash, homie. Cash talks. That's all I can tell you. All right, let me get to a couple of items here. This is, as soon as I can get it to open, here we go. This is Tammy in New York. She says, John, I have been a faithful listener for many years and appreciate the work you do. I live in New York, but I am a big Patriots fan, and I have to tell you that New York fans are the worst. Jets fans are obnoxious. The worst fans are those that say they are New York fans and support whichever team is hot at the moment. What the hell does that even mean? I have a few coworkers that are so confident that the Giants are going to win that they actually have taken the day after the Super Bowl off to attend the parade. Ooh, that sounds like it. That could be bulletin board material. Tammy says, I cannot stand these New York fans and their stupid Jets and Giants. I cannot wait until the Patriots win so that I can dance in their faces. So annoying. Thank you, Tammy. Got to get back to work. That's it. You know, I think that, in a sense, I understand completely what you're saying, Tammy, and that's why I brought up the subject today, and I know that's why, you know, and we'll give credit where credit's due. ESPN Boston's doing a little thing on it. They've got some dueling columnists going about the respective virtues of Boston versus New York. It goes deeper than just Red Sox and Yankees. And I think that we've done our share to kind of keep that whole New York, New England thing going, not only through the, you know, rivalry with the Giants now, and I think it's a rivalry, especially based on what the Giants did to the Patriots in Super Bowl 42, but it has to be every year because you play the Jets twice. So that's twice a year, football-wise, that we get to talk about New York. And they get to talk about us. But I always get the impression when we start the conversations that New York fans are almost indignant with, like, we got to put up with Boston fans again. We got to put up with New England fans. We got to put up with Patriot fans. Ugh, you know, it's beneath me to do that, which is why I tell you my impression of New York fans.
I got an idea.
Shoot.
Do you want to take a little live Tom Brady right now? He's at the podium.
Tom's at the podium?
Yeah. You want to take a little bit of it?
Let's take a little bit of it. All right. Stand by. Because he's just stepped to the podium in the interviewer. That's why Eric's not here today, because he's getting the interviews done today. But stand by. If you're on the phones, keep the emails coming. Boston versus New York. Tell me your stories. Let's get to Tom Brady.
What are you trying to translate, get through to them as you prepare in the game?
Yeah, well, you know, Coach Belichick prepares the team pretty well. So, you know, I think what a lot of the veterans have tried to do is just set an example by doing the right thing. And it's not so much, you know, hey, this is the way it's going to be. This is, you know, it's, look, we're going to work hard. You know, it's a football game for us. It might be the Super Bowl for everybody else. But for us, you know, we're going there to try to win a football game. So put all the distractions aside and you know, don't let anything get in the way of our preparation, because that's ultimately what's most important. I mean, this game, everyone will remember for the rest of their life. And hopefully it's a good memory.
Tom, Rob's dealing with a little ankle injury. Would you feel like a little deja vu 4 years ago? You had that a couple of weeks before this Super Bowl, and now here it goes again. Do you have any doubt that he'll be ready for the game?
I mean, I have no idea. I'm not sure. You know, I think everyone deals with bumps and bruises this time of year. And, you know, it's the Super Bowl, so we're all trying to get out there and be healthy. And it would suck to miss this game. You know, you put all the work in over the course of the entire year and have the opportunity to play in this game. You know, everyone's going to be doing everything they can to be out there.
How bad was it for you right away when you knew you were hurt the day of the AFC title, but you had no doubt you'd be ready?
Yeah, no, I wasn't going to miss that game. I don't miss many. I was certainly going to miss that one.
Hey, Tom, right after the game, Robert Kraft was saying, you told him, don't worry, I'm going to play better next time. Immediately after the game,
you know, I'm always trying to play better. I think every player on this team is trying to play better every week. So, you know, I'm glad we won that game. Glad we're sitting in this position now. And I think, you know, a lot of guys played really well, and that's what it's going to take again this week. So, I always have private conversations with Mr. Kraft that they're supposed to be private, but I guess they're not.
Tom, will you talk about Tom Martinez and the matching donor program?
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, been a great friend of mine and for a long time, and it, you know, taught me how to throw the football at a very young age. So, you know, he's been looking for a kidney for quite a while, and hopefully, you know, we can find him one soon, because, you know, a lot of people are looking for, you know, kidneys or, you know, some different type of transplants, but He's very deserving. He's a great man.
Tom, what sort of pressures do you personally endure or experience in a game of this magnitude based upon the caliber of play that you've hit?
I think there's pressure for every player, you know. It's not necessarily me. Certainly there's pressure on me. There's pressure on the coaches and the players, and, you know, we're expected to do our job at a very high level. And you go into this game where you're playing your toughest opponent. There's only two teams that are playing in this that are still going, and there's certainly a finality to this game that you know, you're putting absolutely everything you can into it preparation-wise. And you're expected to go out there and play at your very best. And there's no reason why we shouldn't, because we've had 110 practices. This is our 23rd game of the year. I mean, it's pretty incredible when you think of the, you know, a real long football season. So, you know, we have experience. We've seen a lot. This is our third time we'll be playing this team, preseason, regular season, and postseason. So there's some familiarity with them. And everyone should be excited and, I'm ready to go out there and play our best game.
What's it meant to have a guy like Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis in the backfield for you, a steady, consistent presence back there? Maybe not the flashiest guy in the world, but a guy who can consistently get that 4 yards to carry work.
Yeah, Benny's, since the day he got here, he's worked extremely hard. He really kind of broke through in 08. He got a lot of opportunities there and really took advantage of them. So he's always done that. He runs hard. He's tough. He's smart. Catches the ball well. Blitz pickup's very good. He's got great vision. It's hard to tackle, so you know, it's great. He's very consistent back there. It's you know, we got a great group of backs.
Tom, can you talk about what this crowd meant to you personally, and why she's been such a big inspiration to this team?
I spoke about that so many times. You know, I think she's just been a wonderful influence on every guy that has been a part of this team. So, you know, we wear her initials on our patch on our jersey, and it's certainly been a meaningful year for Mr. Kraft and his family, and we know how important the season is to him, and said hopefully we represent her well by wearing that patch.
Kevin and Matt, what does that say about you guys and say about this organization?
We won a lot of games.
Obviously, for the three of you, both each had injuries that have ended seasons, and yet you still...
Sure. Well, I think we've been very fortunate. You know, it's one thing to be a good team. We've got some breaks. You know, to be in this position, you certainly need some good fortune too. So, you know, we're relatively healthy. We've had a tough schedule, but you know, we fought through some adversity. You know, it's a very mentally tough team. I think there's some very good veteran leadership, and certainly the rookies have done a great job missing all of training camp or missing all of the off-season program, and really done a great job for us. So. It requires everybody. It's every single player on this team, every coach, every practice squad player that has really made a commitment to each other to come out here every day for these 106 practices and give everything he can to the team. And, you know, we won 15 games, 3 losses. It hadn't been all perfect, but, you know, we're finding ways to win these games. And that's ultimately how you move on and get to this point.
With your familiarity with the Giants, you know that their front four put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. Is this a game where you're really going to have to utilize your quick read, your defense reading, and the quick moves of the receivers to get rid of that ball quickly so that you're not at risk back there?
Well, they can rush the passer. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Yeah. You know, and we've been playing them before. You understand that they can – I mean, they strip-sacked us on our own 10-yard line or something like that when we played them last. So they get a lot of turnovers. They put a lot of pressure on you with their front four. You know, they have a big physical group that plays really well together. And you watch them play against the 49ers. I mean, they played a great game defensively. They played, they gave 2 points against Atlanta, which was on, you know, a defensive score. So they're a great football team. They have a great defense. They have, you know, every time we play them, I mean, it's, you know, you talk about their defense, their pass rush. And it's going to be a great game. We got our work cut out for us.
What are your impressions of Eli Manning?
He's a great quarterback. Yeah, he's a great quarterback. He's... I've been the first pick in the draft, so I've always watched him. He does everything you're looking for as a quarterback. I've seen it firsthand what he can do in the fourth quarter of these games. He's done a great job bringing his team back. You know, he's a great leader. You always hear that coming out of New York. The guys really have a lot of respect for him, and You know, so do I.
His toughness is maybe a little, at least earlier in his career, was maybe a little underrated. The ability to stand in there when someone's bearing down on him and wait for the last second to deliver the ball. How hard is that to train yourself to do?
Yeah, it's part of the position, and like I said, you watch the San Francisco game, and I watched that, and he was getting drilled and just stood in there and kept making the throws and, you know, trusting his protection and came through when they needed him. So he's certainly a great leader for that team and plays at an extremely high level. I mean, you don't get to this game without playing at a high level, and he seemed to always do it down the stretch. So I have a ton of respect for him. He's a great competitor. He's a great quarterback for that team.
Tom, earlier in the week, you said you're going to play the best game of your career.
I said I hope to.
You hope to? What made you make that comment, and do you need to play the best game of your career in order to beat a team like the Jags?
I sure hope so. I hope I do. And I go out there, and you try to be at your very best in the biggest game. And my teammates really count on that. Certainly I count on that. There's a lot of preparation that goes into that, of playing with confidence and anticipation and understanding the game plan and go out and executing it, you know, when it matters the most. So that's what it's going to take. It's a great team that we're playing. Everyone's going to need to be at their best. I'm all done. Thanks, guys.
All right, so there's Tom Brady as we speak from the podium here at Gillette Stadium upstairs, meeting with all kinds of media, getting all of the same questions. You could kind of sense just a little bit. He knows it's going to be a long week. He's got to pace himself, and he's getting some of the same questions over and over and over again, and which is what we're trying to actually avoid doing, because we know they're going to come. We know they're going to happen. The players, obviously, they get it. Tom understands it. He gets it about as well as anybody. So you answer them the best you can, but you can't answer every one. And then after a while, you know, if he stayed up there forever, I think the media would allow him to stay up there forever. So he's got to call a quit to it. And that's why, when he's done, he's done. He's got to move on whenever he's got to get to, you know, meeting or practice or what have you.
That's pretty cool, though, because usually during our show, we don't get the opportunity to air live sound.
Well, that's
so
because
that's really cool.
A lot of times those press conferences happen earlier in the afternoon than when we come on at 2 o'clock Eastern.
When I saw him pop up, I was like, ooh, this would be kind of cool.
That's an excellent idea. Good call by you. See, good producers are supposed to do that stuff, Kev. So obviously, we know that you got a little schooling in that regard, right? Good job out of you. And again, that's why, as I said earlier, that's why, you know, Eric Scalavino is not here today, because he's got to attend all these news conferences and talk to the players, because that's part of his job as a writer for Patriots Football Weekly. So that's why Eric's not here today. But I am here with you. Webradio at patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline 508-298-0398. Come on, Boston fans. Come on, New York fans. Tell me why you don't like the other side. It's that simple. Why is your side better than the other? Or do you just not care? Somehow, I really don't believe that's the case. So
we got to get Kat in Chicago to call back, too.
You need to make your case. Yeah, no, I kept... She had just called,
She told me, Tom Brady. She told me she was offended by you.
So offended?
Because
what did I say
about the Connecticut comment? She wanted to defend the state of Connecticut. So Connecticut, I wanted to call back.
Connecticut is an annex.
Get back on the phone, Kat.
Connecticut is an annexation of New York, okay? It doesn't belong in New England. It has never belonged in New England. And people who live in Connecticut know that it doesn't belong in New England. Never has. It never will. It's not a part of New England. It's only a part of New England in name only. And everybody who lives and works and plays and has spent any time in New England knows this. The only people who might be offended are the few fans in Connecticut who actually support New England teams, of which there are about three. That's it. All right, let's get a break in here. Webradio at patriots.com, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Boston VNY. Let's go.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Gear up for the Super Bowl at the official team store, the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise anywhere, from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, game day party gear, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature.
Right? No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Thanks, Nelly. All right, in the playbook here, 508-298-0398, web radio at patriots.com. Boston v. New York. Who's got the advantage? Who's got the better teams? Who's got the better town? Who's got the better food, restaurants? Who's got the better everything? By the way, in case you're interested, the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon.
Presented by Raytheon.
Thank you very much. Is going to have the Lamar Hunt AFC Championship Trophy on display this weekend. So if you have admission to the hall, you're in the area, want to go to the hall, you can bring your own cameras, you can have your picture taken with the 2011 Lamar Hunt Trophy for the AFC title. And if you haven't heard, and I'm sure you have, you've probably seen it on this website, there is going to be a super send-off coming up this Sunday, as the Patriots will be holding a free event sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts and Covidian. So any fan in the New England area could come on in to Gillette Stadium here on Sunday at 12 noon. And there will be a send-off for the team to Super Bowl 46 to Indianapolis just prior to the players boarding the buses for the airport. But we'll have Bill Belichick, we'll have the entire team, we'll have Patriots President Jonathan Kraft involved, we'll have the cheerleaders, Pat Patriot, End Zone Militia, we'll have all kinds of great stuff up on the high-def video boards. You'll be able to re-watch the AFC Championship game against the Ravens. There will be complimentary coffee and hot chocolate provided. Woohoo! It's a great thing. So the gates will open here at Gillette this Sunday at 10:15 in the morning. They will start the AFC Championship replay on the video screens at 10:30 Sunday morning, and then at noon, 12 noon sharp, will be the send-off program before the players and coaches board the buses to head to Indianapolis for Super Bowl 46. And again, it's free. So make your plans if you're in the area. Now, Cat in Chicago, we found you again. Why are you calling me out? What did I say that was so flipping offensive?
I cannot believe that you said, number one, Connecticut is not part of New England.
It's
and
not.
Number two, that it's mostly New York fans.
It is.
No, it's not. That's absolutely ridiculous.
No, it's not. It's fact.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Well, now, when was the last time you were in Connecticut, Kat?
For Christmas.
Great. Great. I'm there every day.
Yeah, but I grew up there. I've spent 25 years in Connecticut.
Well, then you're the only one. You're the only one.
That's not true. Growing up, I lived in New Haven, and then I lived in Hartford. And I've met one person from Connecticut who is a Giants fan. And I only met him in Chicago. I met him in Chicago. I'm not kidding.
Well,
I never.
Then you and
ever.
I know completely different circles of people, because all the Connecticutans, or whatever they call it. What do they even call it? What do you even call yourselves?
Baloney.
They don't call themselves anything.
Well, okay.
No
there you go. It's because they're all New Yorkers at heart.
No, it's
yes,
not.
Yes, no. It is.
That's why I never got why they have like Connecticut Day at Fenway Park in the middle of the summer. You know,
really,
how they have
that's like having New York Day at Fenway.
Look, it's not when I was growing up. It wasn't for want of. Trust me, people wanted to be New York fans, and they couldn't bring themselves to do it. I grew up when the Red Sox sucked. I probably went to 15 games at Fenway. You know how many times I saw them win?
How many?
None.
Seriously?
Not a single.
Screw the Sox. Let's talk some football.
Exactly.
That's funny.
You could make the case that in like the Greenwich, Stamford area, Norwalk, in the little boot, you can make the case that that is more New York than New England, because that's where, you know, a lot of like the day traders and the people who don't want to live in, you know, they want either a better school or, you know, but they kind of work in New York or they work in finance. They live down there, and you can make that case. But I totally, totally disagree about Connecticut being New York fans. It boggles my mind. If I still lived in Connecticut, I would grab all my friends and drive up there and throw down with you.
Nice. All right. Well, now, you know what? Kat, obviously, I appreciate your passion, because you are, you know, you're a frequent contributor, and, you know, you care about your team, and I think that's fantastic. Based on my own personal experience, I don't know anybody like you in the state of Connecticut. So that makes you, in my eyes, rather unique. And that's the God's honest truth, because I lived up here.
I know.
You're in Chicago, and yet you still have this passion for Connecticut and New England teams, and I think that's fantastic. It tells me that you're not, you know, a wishy-washy bandwagon fan, which is even more of a reason. You know, your husband's a very lucky man. I'll give you that. Very lucky to have that kind of, yes, to have that kind of loyalty. I think that's fantastic to have that kind of loyalty. But here's my practical experience is that most of my friends that live and work in around Connecticut are, you know, New York transplants, or they've moved to Connecticut because the rent's cheaper, or, you know, all I'm saying is, as you suggested, you live in the little boot. I can understand if you're a day trader, you live in Connecticut because you don't have to pay New York prices. But
right.
I don't know anybody that actually lives in one of the other New England states that wants to physically go to Connecticut, much less live there.
Well, but fair enough. Fair enough. But, I mean, my family did. But that's, you know, I mean.
Are there any, let me ask you a question. Is there such thing as a native Connecticut person?
Yeah, I think so. I mean.
But you don't live there now, so you can't count you as that anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, if you ask me where I'm from, like if in Chicago and people ask me where I'm from, because obviously I'm not from Chicago, okay. Right? So they ask me where I'm from, and I say, oh, I'm from New England.
Okay. Really? You say New England. So you don't say Connecticut. You don't say New Haven.
He's too embarrassed to say Connecticut.
Yes! Thank you, Kevin, for making my point. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear it.
He said you're too embarrassed to say you're from Connecticut.
Well, no, it's not that. It's that I grew up in Connecticut, but I was born in Boston, and...
Ah!
Right.
Now we're getting to the root of it. Okay. Now, if you were born in Connecticut, that's one thing. But you weren't even born in Connecticut. You were born in Boston. So that's why you have a right to call yourself a New Englander, because you're a native New Englander. So stop trying to put up this defense for Connecticut.
But no, it's not. I grew up with people born in. There are native Connecticuters. They live in Connecticut.
Connecticuters. I can't even say
Connecticuters,
that.
Connecticuters. I know. And they live in, you know, they've been born there, lived there their whole. My parents were born in Connecticut, lived there their whole life. And they're Patriots fans. I mean, I think.
Well, they are the exception. They are the exception, not the rule.
I wonder if people just tell you that they're New York fans to get your goat.
Maybe. Maybe.
Honestly, because they know that you work for the team, and they want to be, you know, they want to be contrarian.
Maybe. I think that's entirely possible. I think it's entirely possible because they do a good job of that. I mean, I said earlier when I was going through my diatribe on New York, I said, you know, New York fans love to tweak Boston fans' noses all the time.
Yeah.
They revel in it.
But we hate, no, but I mean, I hate New York fans. I hate the Giants fans. I mean, not as much as I hate the Jets fans and the Yankees fans. Oh my God. It's like, yeah, you couldn't, I have literally almost gotten into fist fights at parties watching, like here in Chicago, watching football when there have been New York fans who have been in my face about it.
Wow.
It's not, I mean, it is a deep, deep seated hatred.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's get more to the end of the point. Compare New England / Boston fans to New York fans. Why Boston or / New England has the edge over New York, not only fan-wise, but team-wise?
The reason that I think that they have an edge, I think there are a lot of things in New York's favor, right? Like they have a bigger monetary base. You know, they have more fans. They can generate more revenue. All of that, right? Especially, like, some of the smaller stadiums.
They also have more poverty, more garbage, more trash.
True. But to me, it's the fact that, I don't know, maybe it's part of just when, you know, I grew up there, but people stuck by the teams even though they were bad, even though they were awful. You know what I mean? And the New York fans are more fickle. You know what I mean? If their team's not, like, you see it with the Jets right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, there's no question. They are, New York fans, compared to New England fans, are way bigger sore losers.
Right. And they'll criticize the team. I mean, when the Yankees lose, people are, oh, they're screaming and yelling and up in arms and all of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's, granted, people get upset about it here, but it's not like, you don't throw the whole team under the bus.
Right.
You know? So I think there's that, and I also think that it's just a smaller community, and so it feels more tight-knit, and, you know, it's more, I don't know, it's just a different persona. Like, you would never see, like, the snow games and stuff where the fans in Foxborough were throwing snow and everything like that. I don't think you'd ever see that in New York. It's just a different mentality.
I agree.
So,
Kat, I'm glad you called me out. It's always good to talk to you.
Don't be calling me a New Yorker.
You're not. You're a Bostonian. Okay? So there's a reason why you are the way you are. You couldn't possibly be a New Yorker because you're not from Connecticut. You're from Boston.
I mean, I don't know. I moved there when I was like a year and a half years old.
Oh, okay. Well, but still, you were born in New England. So, you know, that's you really shouldn't even be in this conversation, Kat.
If you look geographically,
you got way too much class
of New England.
Well, I think we have to redraw the map. And I think the other five states should gang up on Connecticut and kick it out.
Oh, that's just mean.
Well, New York would be happy to annex you because it already has financially anyway.
No, New York doesn't want anything north of New Haven.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Doesn't want anything east of New Haven either. So you can have everything west of New Haven, and we'll take that little, you know, eastern New Haven, New London, we'll take that part, and we'll make that a part of Rhode Island. How's that?
You can have that as long as... you can have the eastern part, honestly, but I still think the northern part should be Connecticut, New England, Connecticut. That's just me.
Okay. We'll just have to agree to disagree on that one.
All right.
Thanks for talking to us today.
Thanks. You too. Have a good weekend.
Hey, you too. You bet. All right. Kat in Chicago. A Bostonian, by the way. Sean in El Paso, Texas. Sean, you're in the playbook.
Hey, guys. I'm here in Fort Bliss. This is a first-time caller.
I'm glad you called. Yeah. Thank you.
I got kind of a different take on things because I'm a diehard Patriots fan, Celtics, Bruins. But hold your breath. I'm a Yankees fan.
Oh, no. How is that even possible?
Oh, it's a long story. I don't even know if you got time for it.
So you're a Yankee fan and a Patriot fan?
Absolutely, yes, sir.
You are the one human on the face of the planet that is both.
I know, and you wouldn't believe the guff I get over it. My dad was a sign painter. He used to bring me to Fenway Park when I was a kid, and there was some Boston Red Sox tossing a ball out there, and they gave me a hard time, and my dad got in an argument with him, and I was a Yankees fan from then.
Oh, my God. I don't even know. I mean, talk about conflicts. Oh, how do you justify your internal conflicts?
Well, it's not easy. It's not easy, but, you know, the thing is, you know, the Patriots, in this area, from what I see, they're like the Yankees. Everyone hates the Yankees. Everyone hates the Patriots. That's just the way it seems like in this area.
Well, that is true. That actually is an interesting point you bring up there, Sean, because the Patriots obviously are not well-liked throughout the NFL, and I think it's largely because people are jealous of New England's success in this day and age of parity in the NFL.
Absolutely. I think it's the same thing with the Yankees. So, in general, when you see around here, and I work with soldiers from all over the country, and these guys, that's all you're hearing now. How much they want to see the Patriots get beat up on and this and that. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy. Even people that have no affiliation with New York or anything.
Right.
So it's not just a New York Boston thing. If you have a winning tradition, sometimes people jump on board and it's just a natural progression to dislike that team.
Okay. All right. So, you know, you're a bandwagon fan. What else, Sean?
Exactly. That's what I get accused of being all the time. But, you know, what can I say?
You know? Well, you can understand why people would make that leap of faith on you, right?
Oh, of course. Of course. I never hear the end of that. But, you know, the thing is, with New England, they have a good chance to do what they got to do here in the Super Bowl, but nobody even wants to see them do it.
Right.
People want to see them fail, and I'm seeing that. You know, I'm seeing that constantly here.
Right.
So
no, that's a good point. Very good point.
I think it just comes down to their winning condition. You know, you don't see the same thing with Austin when they were, with the Red Sox when they were you know, having their run, and you know, everyone was behind them.
Very true.
You just don't see it.
Very true.
So. And as far as being obnoxious, even though I'm a Yankees fan, I got to admit, you know, they're more obnoxious than Red Sox fans.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Yeah. And I think that also goes for the most part for Giants, especially Jets fans, but also Giants fans too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, and arrogant, much more arrogant. And that's the thing. That's what I don't understand with the Patriots. I don't see that. I don't see the Patriots fans being arrogant like that. You know,
no, but I would tell you this, Sean. This is the one thing I think Patriots fans should guard themselves against, because if they're fortunate enough to win this game, then I think you can, you'll start to see some of that New York style arrogance creep out. And that's not what I want. I like the fact that, you know, New England is, you know, salt of the earth, hardworking, you know, just regular Joe type of people. I like that. I like that persona. That's what attracted me to New England teams in the very beginning, because I'm a native Texan. So, this is why I like New England. Because I thought there was a work ethic involved where when you actually accomplish something, it meant something.
I agree. And when they do it with class.
Right.
And that's different than, this is Dallas Cowboys fan area. And I when they were having their dynasty in their time, I didn't see them doing it with the same type of class.
Yeah. Well, I have, growing up in Fort Worth, I guess I can understand that too. But Cowboys fans were somewhat rightfully obnoxious because they could be.
Right.
But that's the one thing I think New England fans have begun to avoid that I fear they won't avoid any longer should they win Super Bowl 46, especially.
Well, that's true. And I get accused of being a little obnoxious because I don't make money bets, but I usually will make. I'd rather take your dignity than any money, so I'll make
nice.
A bet where you're going to take pictures with pictures of jerseys and things like that. And
there you go.
I've had some fun with that in the last
absolutely. Sean, thanks for taking the time to call. I sure appreciate it. I hope you won't be a stranger.
All right, take care.
Thanks, you betcha. Let's go to Chris in Plainville, Mass. Chris, you're in the playbook.
Hey, man, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, but I'm a little fired up. I got a little beef with you. Calling out Connecticut like that.
Why?
What's your deal with Connecticut?
I'm just giving you what my experience with Connecticut has been. That's all.
All right.
I don't have a beef with Connecticut. I'm just calling it as I see it. That's what I do. I'm a play-by-play announcer. I absolutely call it as I see it.
So I guess I'm just piggybacking from the girl from before. But, I mean, I guess she was implanted into Connecticut, correct?
Yeah, she moved from Boston to Connecticut when she was like a year and a half old.
Oh, that's still, I mean, how does she even know at a year old?
I have no idea, but all I know is that she's a Bostonian. She's a New Englander. I don't count her as for someone from Connecticut.
All right. Well, I mean, I was born in Connecticut. I'm a diehard Pats fan. I have been since 89.
Well, that's two then. Okay, so that's two of you.
And I got a whole bunch of, you know, guys and a whole bunch of people in central Connecticut that, you know, we go up to games. I mean, I think I missed only like two home games this year. You know, we go to everything, season ticket holder events, you know, the Pats practices, you know, draft parties.
Are you
preseason?
Are you
everything?
Are you east of New Haven or west?
North.
All right,
we're central.
All right, so you're central. But I mean, if you drive a line straight up from New Haven, are you east or west of that line?
West.
Wow, then you really are rare, because I was willing to say if you were east of that line, then I'd say, well, then you can be a little bit more New England than New York. But the line of demarcation is clearly in New Haven.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. I feel like Connecticut is very confused on who to root for because they're right in, you know, the center of everything. But I feel like you definitely got to give us a little bit more credit, you know? There's more Pats fans here than you think.
Well, there must be, because if I, you know, got you motivated enough to call, then I'll give you credit for that.
Absolutely.
Now, how many games a year do you guys make?
We try to make almost every home game. I think we only missed like two this year.
Really?
But it's rough to get tickets, obviously, without being a season ticket holder. So
understood. No, hey, yeah. I understood. Well, listen, you definitely, I'm glad you called, because you definitely scored some for Connecticut. You know, again, I can only give you what my personal experience has been. And you and Kat in particular are aberrations. I'll just put it that way.
Well, there's more of us out there. We just might not be calling in, so.
Well, then, you know, you can call in, you can email, you can Facebook, you can tweet, you can do whatever, but, you know, you need to let us know you're out there, because, frankly.
They're calling in. Look at the screener.
This is great. It's fantastic. I have no problem with that. It's great, but I just have never had that experience from, you know, Connecticutans or whatever the hell they're called. I can't even pronounce it. What do you guys call yourselves, Chris? Yankees?
No, not Yankees. No.
Giants?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, just asking. You're a good sport,
but
Chris.
My goal would be, I guess, by the end of the show, that you pull the reins back a little and, you know, give us a little bit more credit than your original fired out piece when you came out about it.
Okay, you know what? I'll give you this. You nudged my needle. Let's see if it nudges anymore.
Absolutely.
Sounded dirty, Rook.
No.
Your head is saying that cat nudged his needle.
Your head's in the gutter. Now, cat could nudge my needle. That's very true. Chris, thanks for being a good sport, man.
Thank you.
All right, you got it. Let's get to Andrew in Bridgeport, Connecticut. This ought to be good. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, what's going on, man?
How are you?
I'm pretty good. I think you're going to be pretty excited. You just found another Patriots fan in Connecticut.
Oh, my God. That's three? There's three of you now?
And huh?
There's three of you now?
And it's west of New Haven.
West of New Haven again? Well, I'm shooting the hell out of that theory. We may have to move the border a little bit westward now.
Hey, and to a caller a couple calls ago, I'm a Yankees fan, too.
I never thought
I would find that in a million years.
Oh, my God. So
I
now you're
another one.
So, Andrew, so you're telling me now you're a Yankee fan and a Patriot fan.
I get crap for it every day.
How do you do that?
I can't explain it.
How do you do it?
My father.
Your father was both?
My father. That's all I can say. I'm not a bandwagon fan. I just got on what my father was on.
I don't understand how you can do both. I mean, I just think they fly in the face of each other.
Well, the thing is, I never really understood it until I got about 16, 17. Then I started realizing, this is really stupid. that's when I started realizing, but...
It is stupid.
In the summertime, I hate Boston, and in the winter, I hate New York. I can't explain it.
And that's why you live in Bridgeport, Connecticut. You're right smack dab in the middle.
Closer to New York, but... But I mean, winter, all winter long, I'm listening to Boston stations. All summer long, I can't stand Boston.
That's hilarious. That is absolutely hilarious. I have to admit, this is a real eye-opener because, frankly, I have never had this experience with people from Connecticut at all. I mean, you're either a New York fan or a New England fan. I have never had a split fence like I've seen today, ever.
I wish I could say I was lying and just jumping on the bandwagon with the other caller, but when he called and said that, I was like, oh, my God, I have to call.
That's hysterical. So you,
like I said, it's diehard both ways. I can't explain it.
So you eat crap pies, you know, during the football season and the baseball season for your other allegiance, right?
Yep.
Oh my God, dude! I don't know how you do it. You get hit from both sides of the fence year round.
Like I said, I can't explain it, but it's possible. Trust me.
Wow. All right. Well, I'm glad to know you're out there. Don't be a stranger. All right.
All right, we're out here.
Thanks, man. All right, Andrew in Bridgeport. Good grief. Jeff in Bristol, Connecticut. Maybe we've woken up the state here. Jeff, you're in the playbook.
What's going on, John?
How's it going?
Definitely woken up the state of Connecticut.
Good. Good. We need that.
Yeah, so here's the deal. Born and raised in Bristol, Connecticut. I now live in Manhattan. So I got a pretty clear perspective on this, and man, you couldn't be wider left than Cundiff on this one, because Connecticut is definitely, definitely, definitely not New York. Heck, in New York, I see more variations of different fans, and by that calculation, New York should be up in Canada, because it's a melting pot out here. I got Miami fans next to me, I got Kansas City fans next to me.
I do know this, Jeff, New York is not from this world, okay?
That's for damn sure. I'm just thinking, I can't wait to go up to my cousin's place, and my brother and my mom are still all out there, and rejoice. There's, you know, 10 or 15 of us that'll be watching the game together, and, you know, we're all Pats and Red Sox fans. So these guys calling in that are Yankees, Pats fans, yes, bandwagoners. For the guy who was just calling, he's a fan because his dad's a fan. Your dad's a bandwagoner. You're all bandwagoners if you're a Yankees fan and a Pats fan. That just doesn't work. I don't want to hear that.
Well, that's kind of what I think. I mean, frankly, you know, I can understand if I think it's bizarre that your father, your parents, you know, have been bandwagon fans too, liking one side and liking the other because they both win.
But
frankly, yeah, it's not right. I mean, pick a side, right? Pick a side, stay with that side, and be have allegiance to that side. But here's the thing that I really find odd: if you're both a Patriot and a Yankee fan, all right? The Patriots haven't been good except for the last 10 or 11 years, really.
Exactly.
Okay? So how does that happen? Because the Yankees have been good since eternity.
Yes.
You know, so exactly. How do you – I don't get that.
It boggles my mind. When these guys were calling in, the first guy called in, I was like, okay, you know, whatever. And then the second guy called in, and I was like, okay, I got to put a stop to this because this is an unfair representation. We had two great callers, you know, coming in, really representing well. One was kind of a Bostonian, so that didn't really work.
Yeah, Boston.
He was representing well.
Right.
So I was like, well, I got to get Briss up in here because we're a blue-collar town, and, you know, we revolve around sports. And let me tell you, there's a lot of Pats fans. You get your Giant fan here and there. But for the most part, you know, that's very rare. And but I think I will say your New Haven perspective is rather sound. I actually emailed too, so you can just ignore my email. But
okay.
It is you kind of got a sound argument there, because when you start to trickle down a little bit, it does get a lot more, like, you can definitely notice the difference, like, pretty well.
I've always thought that. But I mean, frankly, that I'm hearing from you people who are, you know, Patriot fans and or New England fans that live in Connecticut, I'm stunned, because all the people that I know live in Connecticut are Yankee fans and Giant fans through and through. Except for a couple of stray Jets fans, which, you know, and that just pisses me off. So, you know.
Oh, yeah. Don't even get me started. But, yeah, there's plenty of us, and we're going to be having a big Super Bowl party to kick it off. So
good.
I'm looking forward to it, man.
Good. I'm glad. Well, thank you for calling and representing.
All right. Thank you, John.
Good stuff, Jeff. All right. Let's get to Kyle, also in Connecticut. Kyle, you're in the playbook.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm great. Where in Connecticut are you?
All the way south. Basically on the border to Connecticut.
Okay, border of Connecticut, and where?
About 5 minutes drive that would cross over to New York.
Oh, okay, so you're right on the Connecticut, New York. Okay, so you can give us a pretty good perspective again on the whole New York-Connecticut thing, right?
Yeah, well, I feel like we've been pretty well represented by the other callers.
Okay.
But yeah, down where I am, it's basically all Giants and Yankee fans.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I'd be willing to move that border a little bit more west of New Haven, maybe even a little bit more toward Bridgeport if we think that's apparent. But you can't tell me that there are any Patriots fans west of, like, Stamford, can you?
Yeah, not too many.
I didn't think so.
I'm one of the lone fans.
So what's it like being, like, you know, a thorn sticking out of the rose bush?
Yeah, that's basically what it is, living in enemy territory.
So how do you do it?
Well, everyone in my family is a Boston fan, because my whole extended family's from Boston. So
wow, okay,
not too bad.
All right, so at least you have the familial background, and that's how you're able to hold on to your traditions, even though you live in enemy territory.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Well, absolutely.
Listen, you got to be faithful, right? You got to be loyal. You got to be true to yourself before anything else. And if you're a native, you know, and that's what you grew up with, you can't let go of that. I mean, I always think that you can add, because, for instance, you know, I grew up in Texas, and I grew up, you know, a Cowboy fan, and, you know, and people hammer me for that all the time up here, which is fine. I don't care. But I've never given up my following of them, and I've added to my repertoire, if you will, by becoming a Red Sox fan, by becoming a Patriots fan. You know, I will admit this, and I will admit this live right here on the radio. I have never been a Boston Celtic fan. I never will be a Boston Celtic fan. I tolerate the Celtics because my kids like the Celtics because they were born here. So they have a right for that because it's their birthright. But I wasn't, and I used to work in the NBA, and the Celtics, we hated then. The Celtics, I hate now. I'm true to myself.
What about the Bruins?
No, I like the Bruins.
Oh, okay. That's good.
I support the Bruins. But I've never really supported the Celtics. So I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I'm weird. Just weird.
Well, 75%.
Okay. 75%. Yeah, there you go. All right. All right, Kyle. Hey, thanks for the phone call. I sure appreciate it.
All right, yeah, thanks.
All right, have fun. All right, let's get one more in here. Let's get Charlie in Westport, Connecticut in here. Charlie, you're in the playbook.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. I'm also a season ticket holder. How's that?
That's fantastic. How many years?
It's been 5 years. I was 15 years on the waiting list.
Wow. You stayed through to it 15 years?
Yep. My wife and I go to the game. We get up at 8 o'clock in the morning for a 1 o'clock game. We go to Providence, take the train, get to the game, get back, and get home about 8 o'clock at night. If we stop for dinner, 9 o'clock.
Wow. So you get a full day in, don't you?
And a full day.
That's unbelievable. You know what? Kudos to you. Kudos to you. Now, are you a native Connecticut?
I was born in Boston.
Aha! Uh-huh.
My father was a Red Flops fan.
Aha!
So,
uh-huh.
You know, I had to grow up like that.
He hated football. You know, you said Red Flops, so that means only one thing. How could you possibly be a Yankee and a Patriot fan?
Oh, I'm not a Yankee fan. Absolutely not.
Well, then who are you a fan of?
Well, I'm a fan of the Red Sox. I still call them the
Red Sox. Oh, you call them the Red Sox. Okay, all right. Because usually we only let Yankee fans do that.
Because
that's what real fans are.
They support them win or lose.
That's true. That's a good point, Kevin. Red Sox fans do support the Sox win or lose. And Red Sox fans have a right to call them Red Flops as much as anybody. More so than most.
Connecticut is part of New England, so don't forget that.
Well, that's been the whole argument that I've had here, Charlie, today, is the fact that I've claimed that, you know, New York should just annex Connecticut because of all the people that I knew in Connecticut. I didn't know a soul who was a Patriot fan. Not a soul. But I've been woken up to the fact that I've had about a half a dozen Patriots fans call me from Connecticut today.
Now, I got it worse than a lot of people, too, because I work in Manhattan. I've been working here for over 30 years in the city, and trust me, I'm the one here, and that's it.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, you know, so you're a transplant, but at least you have New England roots. And the one thing that I will admire about you, even though you're transplanted in Connecticut, is that you stayed true to your roots.
Yeah. My kids, too. All three of them.
All of them, huh? Now,
all three.
Do they also live in Connecticut?
No. One lives in Ohio. One lives in Maryland. And the other one lives in Connecticut.
So you're spreading the good word is what you're doing.
And they all got Patriots gear for Christmas, trust me.
Nice. All right. That's very good. Charlie, I'm glad you chimed in on that because I now have renewed faith in Connecticut residents.
All right, let's look for a win the week from Sunday. Huh?
We have to get that. Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you, Charlie.
Have a good day, guys.
You bet. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Well, okay. I will come off, I will come off of my stance a little bit on Connecticut. Not a lot because, again, I can only deal with my own personal experiences. But it is heartening to know that we have a lot of fans in Connecticut that feel passionately about the Patriots, that don't think it's all Giants territory there. It's interesting how this little experiment evolved, isn't it? That's actually cool. West of New Haven, with one or two little pockets of resistance. Wolverines! Yeah, right? A couple of pockets of resistance out there. That's Giant country. That's Yankee country. New York can have it. East of New Haven, all right, we'll take you. You can be a New Englander. I think that's how we have to look at it. All right, let's pause for a timeout here. We've got Russell Baxter, our own pro football guru, to get into the playbook. Let's look back at 11, take a look ahead at the big game coming up next week here in the playbook.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Gear up for the Super Bowl at the official team store, the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise anywhere, from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, game day party gear, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79.
but that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right? Mm-hmm.
No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Now is your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
Raymond sends me this on Facebook. He says, John, grew up in southern Fairfield County, still here. Lots and lots of Pats fans here supporting our team. West of New Haven, too. And then my friend Dagmar says, I'm Cuban, so I guess I don't qualify under the localism or geographical commitment, but I have to say that I would gladly go and watch the Yankees in New York just for the fact that one of my all-time favorites is Mickey Mantle. On the other side, I'd gladly take the opportunity to visit Boston and watch the Sox, too. Never been in either Boston or New York, but they are both in my future plans. In terms of football, there's no need to say who I follow. Go Pats and go Braves. Braves. Come on, Dag. And I got some great emails in here. Tim in Baltimore. Connecticut is a New England state. The only reason some consider it part of the tri-state area is because everybody west of the river is probably either from New York or their ancestors are from New York. He says he thinks the dividing line should be the Connecticut River. And then he sends it in another email a little bit later and says, people from Connecticut are called nutmeggers, you morons. I'm tired of this Connecticut bashing. Mass breathes because we give you air. That's kind of like, do you know why Texas doesn't fall in the Gulf of Mexico? You know this, right, Kevin? You know why Texas doesn't fall in the Gulf of Mexico, right?
Why?
Because Oklahoma sucks. Strippers knows that, too. Did you like that one, Russell?
I live in Connecticut.
Yes, I know you
do. Pennsylvania.
Yes.
I feel strongly both ways. Not sure what I got myself into here. It was easier when you were playing the match game. I came to talk about football.
Oh, we're just tweaking people's noses today. That's all we're doing.
It.
That's
all we're doing. There's a simple two-word explanation for this.
Yeah.
Off week.
Yeah. Yes.
Game show by week. Super Bowl off week.
Isn't that the truth? I was very upfront this week, and I said, look, You know, we played Game Show a couple of times this week to some people who asked me about it. And I said, look,
right.
You know, I think it kind of ran its course. We'll bring it back next year. We'll give it some space to breathe. But I said, look, it's just way too early to X and O because we're going to spend all next week doing that.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's look at some of the periphery. Let's look at some of the other things that kind of go into making this what it is. And the fact is that this is New York versus New England all over again. This is Red Sox, Yankees. This is, you know, Patriots, Giants. This is, you know, Boston, New York. This is everything that, you know, the rivalry and the hub of the universe is all about. And I realize that for folks that have not lived here or worked here or had relatives here or have visited here frequently, this may be somewhat foreign. But it is a rivalry like few others that exist in our continental United States.
Yeah, because you have competitive teams close geographically. You know, we have the rare opportunity here where we have teams playing in the Super Bowl for the second time in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
There hasn't been a great deal of Super Bowl rematches, per se,
right,
in the history. I mean, you know, obviously Dallas and Pittsburgh comes to mind first because they were the first teams to actually play each other in the Super Bowl twice, and they did it, you know, twice in 4 years with the same head coaches, with the same quarterbacks. A lot of the same people attached because there was no free agency back in the 70s. And, you know, obviously, you know, you look at those games, especially Super Bowl 13, which you're probably best better off going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame register and looking at the names because it is a who's who of Pro Football Hall of Famers that played in Super Bowl 13, from the quarterbacks to the running backs to the head coaches to the ownership, you name it. And just great players, and that was a great little rivalry there. And, of course, we've also had, you know, Washington and Miami have played twice in the Super Bowl, but far different circumstances. 1 year it was the perfect Dolphins. The next year was a not-so-perfect nine-game season because of the strike.
Absolutely.
The Bengals only ever get in the Super Bowl play if they're playing the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 0-2, you know, once in the Silverdome and then once the Montana to Taylor thing. And then, of course, not geographical, but, you know, are we ever again going to see teams play in the Super Bowl back-to-back years, which is what we saw with Buffalo and Dallas in Super Bowl 27 and 28.
That's right. Boy, just it's amazing to think how rare that really is. But it is. So the fact that you have, you know, you know, even though it's been 5 years, but even though you've got a relatively recent escapade, and certainly it's one of the games that it could go down as one of the better games played in Super Bowl history, especially because of what was at stake in that game. And obviously Patriots fans know all too well that it didn't quite go their way that day. I mean, you know, it's for it to come back around this quickly again, why wouldn't you think about revenge? Or why wouldn't you think about New York and Boston? And why wouldn't you think about, maybe trying to turn out a different story?
Well, because and there's such a listen, for lack of a better word, that it is something that sticks. Because think of what has happened when these teams are getting ready to play again. Okay, let's go back to Super Bowl 42.
Okay.
Now, of course, I also remember that the last game of the regular season, the Patriots beat the Giants at Giants Stadium to complete the 16-0. Regular season. It's Brady threw his 50th touchdown pass.
Right.
Randy Moss caught his 23rd touchdown pass, you know,
right,
setting records, et cetera.
Right.
But let's go back to the Super Bowl. And, you know, in essence, the Giants snapped the Patriots' 18-game winning streak.
Right.
Because they were 18-0 going into that game. So now let's fast forward to week 9 of this year, where the Patriots are riding a 20-game home regular season winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, who comes in and snaps that? But the New York Football Giants.
Right.
So fast forward to next week.
Mm-hmm.
And the Patriots haven't lost a game since that Giant game. Their winning streak is currently 10.
10 in a row.
10
yep.
straight.
Mm-hmm.
And who's come around again?
Oh, that would be the Giants.
The New York Football Giants. Okay, Ray Stevens called it the streak. And it seems like every time the Patriots have something on the line in terms of a streak, the Giants come around and are they... Is it going to be three times a charm for the New York Giants? We shall see.
Well, yeah, we will. And I know that there are some Patriots fans that are really, really nervous about that. But what I wanted to kind of look at is just take a kind of a look back into how we got to where we are right now with the mm-hmm. with the Patriots and the Giants coming up in Super 46 in Indy next week. Fact of the matter is that both of the NFC and AFC title games, I don't think quite turned out the way that anybody thought they would, and not so much by who won the games, but the way that the games were won. And I know you sort of agree with that based on some of your blogging on ProFootballGuru.com this week. So, for instance, in New England's win, the one that stands out to me is the fact that they finished -2 in the giveaway-takeaway ratio and still won the game, which is almost unheard of in the playoffs. But the biggest gaffe, I guess we'd have to say, was the duck hook that Billy Cundiff pulled off as time ran out.
Yeah, it was such an odd game. You know, the week before, but you know what? This is how football is played, okay? And I'm not saying it's trying to make it simplistic, but it is. The week before, Houston dominated the Baltimore Ravens, but turned over the ball 4 times.
Yeah.
Now, this was odd because some people will say the Ravens outplayed the Patriots to a degree, and it was actually the Patriots who committed 3 turnovers.
That's right.
Found a way to win.
I don't disagree with that either.
Yeah, I mean, what would you have said if you were going to pick off Tom Brady twice? Tom Brady doesn't throw a touchdown pass for the first time in a playoff game since he got hurt in the 2001 AFC title game against Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, streak of 18, the second longest streak in terms of the postseason for a quarterback. Brett Favre holds the record for 20.
Right.
Because the Patriots turnover here or a play here, Baltimore has numerous chances to come down the field. Joe Flacco had thrown for less than 200 yards in 7 of his previous 8 playoff games, and he throws for over 300 against New England. And when it's all said and done, the Baltimore Ravens still wind up coming up short.
Mm-hmm.
And the Patriots did just enough to win. And, you know, sometimes it just happens that way. You know, the numbers, it's not that numbers never lie or numbers don't lie or statistics are, you know, for whatever. I'd ever agree with that. I wouldn't have a job.
Of course not. That's right.
And, every analogy that you bring up or everything you say about statistics kind of went out the window with there, except for a missed field goal, Ofer. That Ofer missed field goal proved to be extremely costly, as did the dropped or knocked away touchdown pass with Lee Evans as well. That that certainly took a little bite out of the Ravens as well. I mean, depending on your perspective, was it a drop? Did he drop it? Was it knocked out of his hands? You make the call. But whatever, it's the difference of making a play and not making a play. And sometimes you can have a bad. Listen, Peyton Manning, the year he won the Super Bowl, had a horrible postseason in terms of interceptions. And yet it's the only, he threw 7 interceptions in 4 playoff games. He only threw 9 during the regular season. It's the one year he wins the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The thing that you love about football, and it certainly pertained in the other game in San Francisco, John, was to this day my favorite thing about it is the ball isn't round. And it does funny things. And, you can debate this and that, he should have done this, he couldn't have done that, and so on. I just know this. If everybody in professional sports did everything they were supposed to do, every game would be 0-0.
That's a good point.
Okay?
So you're telling me the defenses...
These games are played by human beings.
So the defenses would have an edge over the offenses if everything was played perfectly.
Well, of course, because the guy would catch the pass, but he would be tackled right away. No one would break a tackle in a perfect world.
But what if you threw a pass into the end zone?
Well, don't bring logic into this. Okay?
Just saying.
But I think you understand my point.
I do,
in other
of course.
Words, human frailty is part of this game.
Right.
How you react emotionally is part of this game. Breaking a tackle in second effort is game. A ball glancing off your knee when you might not even know it is part of this game.
Right.
Okay? And that's what makes sports fascinating. That's what makes, a guy like Frank Reich, okay, who didn't have a super distinguished college career at Maryland, didn't have a super distinguished pro career, with the Bills and later the Panthers and the Jets and so on. But unless I'm wrong, I know he still is the quarterback of the greatest comeback.
Yes.
In NFL history.
Correct.
And unless something changed in recent years, because college football is not my forte, for the longest time he was the architect of the greatest comeback in college football history.
Mm-hmm.
When Maryland came from way down to beat Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the, you know, whatever year that was, the 80s or 84 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
My point is, you have these unlikely heroes in all sports, okay? You have David Tyree, sorry, with one hand it with a ball stuck to his helmet, okay? You have the heroes and you have the, I don't even like saying the GOAT word and so on, because, you know, for as many bad moments, there are great moments, okay? But, again, this game is played by human beings, all sizes, all shapes. And those things happen. They happen in all games. You win games that way, and you lose that games that way. And I'm a firm believer in, you know, being prepared is for any kind of situation, which has always been a hallmark of what the Patriots have done.
Mm-hmm.
Do your job has been the phrase coined by them. And, you know, I understand the Ravens and Raven fans being highly disappointed, but I also look at the week before, if not for those four takeaways against Houston, they were dominated in that football game by the Texans.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they were. You know, it's pretty easy to see that there's a lot of hype that goes in every year to a game like this, and we all get caught up in it. And I know the players and coaches do their best to not get caught up in it. You know, I hear about, you know, trying to stay on, you know, your schedule, try to stay on your routine, because if you get away from your routine, any little slight thing can cause a little anxiety, and it just can kind of like, you know, snowball on you a little bit. But based on your experience and looking at two teams coming into a large game like this where it's all on the line and you're winning arguably the one championship that means the most over all championships on this planet, with all due respect, of course, to the English Premiership, where do you feel, can games be won or lost in the week, the bye week part of Super Bowl week? Can anything be done that could cause you to win or lose the game before the actual preparation begins?
Well, I mean, the obvious answer, John, would be to somebody get hurt in practice,
mm-hmm.
And so on. I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily what you're talking about.
No, that's part of it, I guess, sure.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing about football. A lot can happen. You know, people were asking me already early this week about what, you know, my prediction for the Super Bowl, you know, and that's very nice of them to ask and so on, but there's so much time in between now and then of what can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know. And I'm not saying this to be, you know, smart alecky. You never know what can happen the night before the Super Bowl. Okay?
Yeah, we've
as
seen
we
players.
Had an incident,
yeah.
As we had an incident back, you know, when the Broncos and the Falcons played.
You're right. We've had arrests the night before the Super Bowl game.
You also had the Bengals and the 49ers, you know, Stanley Wilson.
Sure.
Eugene Robinson we're talking about. Okay? So those things happen. Okay, when you have a lot of time in between. They happen less often now because of, incidents. Barrett Robbins. You know, the Raiders-Buccaneers Super Bowl.
Sure.
Okay, so those things happen, and you can't count on those. You know, somebody tweaks them. You know, you go back to the Super Bowl a couple years ago, if I remember right, Reggie Wayne, I think, got hurt. Not in the championship game against the Jets. I think he hurt himself in practice, you know, between the end of the title game and leading into the Super Bowl. And if you watched him in that game, especially on the interception to Peyton Manning threw to Porter, he didn't look like he was himself.
Right.
So, like I said, things can happen. I think it's more injury-wise than anything else. There's always a wrinkle that the good coaches put in. But what I think that when it comes to this matchup, this is a very unique matchup because it's not just two teams that have met in the Super Bowl and met during the regular season. And by the way, in case you haven't heard the number, this will be the 13th time that teams play each other in the Super Bowl after playing each other in the regular season. And the team that won the regular season game is 5-7 in the Super Bowl.
Right.
I knew it was the last three times the regular season winner lost the Super Bowl, which, of course, includes the Giants-Patriots from 4 years ago.
Correct.
And also the Rams-Patriots, when the Rams beat them in Foxborough in the regular season 10 years ago.
Right.
And so on. So, what I mean by a unique situation is it's an interconference game. But they played in the regular season. They played in Super Bowl now. It'll be the second time in 5 years. These teams play each other in the preseason every year. There's a lot of familiarity that goes on in this series between the Patriots and the Giants. And you wouldn't think that being an interconference series, but it just happens to be one of those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, this kind of, you know, I mean, it sort of lays out before us now where we can kind of consider the respective, you know, merits of the two teams. You brought up the fact that, you know, this is 13th time now for teams to sort of repeat a regular season matchup, which I think is, mm-hmm. is you know, certainly poignant. I had known, and I think I couldn't put the exact number on it, but I had known that the team that had lost in the regular season had a recent run of success. So thank you for clarifying that in the Super Bowl. When it comes right down to, you know, trying to put the matchups of these two teams together as we sort of start, you know, turning our attention toward that a little bit, in all honesty, based on your experience in going on what has happened statistically in past Super Bowls, where do turnovers, where do mistakes, where do gaffes, and I'm talking about like, you know, the Kunda field goal misses and things like that, do they have more of an interest, more of a bearing on the outcome of games, or I guess where I'm going with this is are they magnified more just because it's a championship game, or is it really very little difference from, say, a regular season game?
No, I think there's absolutely something to it. This number, I throw this number out every year, and I think what happens, especially in the Super Bowl, and that's why for years you saw very lopsided championship games before there was a Super Bowl.
Right.
There is a sense of panic that goes on for a team because there is no tomorrow, okay? This is the ultimate game. This is it, okay? Obviously, every playoff game is like that as well, but you have seen the Bills with 9 turnovers and the Broncos with 8 turnovers and so on. John, there have been 45 Super Bowl champions, and those 45 Super Bowl champions have only turned over the ball 51 times. More times than not, the team that wins the Super Bowl actually plays a turnover-free game. Now consider the 45 losing teams have combined for 144 turnovers.
Interesting.
That is a differential of 93. That is an average differential, real quick, of about 2 a game, a minus 2 a game. Okay, right. It doesn't, and obviously inflated by the Bills with 9 and the Broncos with 8 in Super Bowl 12. And of course, the other way is the Colts, you know, back in the day when turnovers were a lot more common. You have a Colt team in Super Bowl V that turns over the ball 7 times. I think the Cowboys, though, turned it over 4 times, so it wasn't that far off. You know, as you know, the Blooper Bowl, the Blunder Bowl, you know, settled by the Jim O'Brien field goal, you know, between the Cowboys and the Colts. So turnovers always have played a big part in this game. Last year you saw it with the Steelers and the Packers, and takeaways were a big part of the Packers' success the entire postseason. And I think there's just a tendency to try to do too many things. There's a tendency to panic. There's a tendency to try to make a play mm-hmm. when there is no play to make because, you know, you do have everything to lose in some egg, but at the same time, you have nothing to lose because if you don't win the game, that's it. You know, it's really simple when it comes to the Super Bowl. It doesn't take very long once that game is over to somehow forget the team that loses. Okay.
Okay.
It's really kind of sudden. All of a sudden, you're celebrating, and you know, you see you know, Lombardi Trophy being handed out, and hey, by the way, let's shift down to the losing locker room for a few minutes.
Right.
It really becomes a celebration of the team that won the game, and you know, obviously, you spend a lot of time pondering who lost the game in the coming days and so on. But that, you know, you see that as soon as the game is over, it's a lot of pomp and circumstances for the winning team, and rightfully so. And, you know, the NFL and football in general is just how it is. It's an out of sight, out of mind game. You know, for the guys who can't play because of injury, you don't concern yourself all that much with that. It's you dance with the girl that brung you.
Yes.
And, I think that's what's going to be fun about this game because these teams know each other's dance partners pretty well. And, both quarterbacks have had magnificent years. You know, the Patriots defense, spotty at times. The Giants defense, which was erratic, but now the pass rush has returned. You know, the Patriots doing it with their receiving core, mostly with the tight ends. The Giants, if you go back to that Super Bowl 4 years ago, John, that whole receiving core pretty much is gone. There is no Burris. There is no Tyree. There's no Steve Smith. There's no Kevin Boss. There's no Amani Toomer. It's now Victor Cruz and Hakeem Nicks and Mario Manningham and Jake Ballard. Mm-hmm. So it's a redo, but it's the same quarterbacks, it's the same head coaches, and it certainly will be the same intensity.
I totally agree with that. All right, so can we make plans then to reconvene here one final time next Thursday?
Well, only if you get a chance to, you know, I'll put you on the spot here. I hope we get to talk a little football in the off season.
Absolutely. We'll count on that. We'll try to work on something, especially around draft time.
Okay?
Yes.
And I just totally embarrassed. Kevin, get on that. Okay.
He's shaking his head, yes.
We have to play to tell the truth in the off season. I'm all for that as well. but yeah, next week we definitely talk some brass. I'll be in Indianapolis starting next Thursday morning.
Fantastic.
Plug.
Fantastic.
And it'll be a lot of, I mean, it's going to be a fun game. I don't think there's any question about it. And put on your seatbelts if the Giants are down in the fourth quarter and Eli Manning has the ball one more time.
I totally agree with that. And I think that's what it stands to make this is at least as good a game, you know, edge of your seat-wise as Super 42 was. So that's great.
Sure, and let's not forget the game back in Week 9 as well.
It was
a frantic fourth quarter.
It was a great fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It just didn't turn out the way Patriots fans wanted it to, but it was a great fourth quarter.
There's a pattern here, John.
Yeah.
The Giants are down, the Giants are down and have the ball, and you know they throw a touchdown pass with 35 seconds left in the Super Bowl. They throw a touchdown pass with 15 seconds left back in Week 9.
That's right.
Let's see what happens here.
Hopefully, they don't throw one with 3 seconds left.
Well, I don't know if your heart could take that, John.
So. Believe me. All right. So, should fans also be paying attention to ProFootballGuru.com throughout the week?
Absolutely. We certainly will be blogging, and certainly keep an eye on the Twitter feed for people who like to follow Twitter at @BackFootballGuru. We'll be tweeting leading up to it. I don't know if we can tweet on the plane. That would be nice.
Well, if you have internet, you can.
Well, I'll do the best I can, but we will certainly be tweeting throughout the game. And all throughout next week, I mean, you know, obviously with 45 Super Bowls under our belt, there's a lot of great history that goes with this game. And when you get a rematch like this, which is rare, it makes for a lot of fun numbers, especially for a stat guy like me.
All right. I'll pull my Bart Scott and say, can't wait. How's that?
I got it. Can you get a little more gruff?
Can't wait.
There you go. With feeling.
Can't wait. Thanks, Russell. Talk to you next week.
All right, John. Have a good week.
Safe travels. Russell Baxter, @BaxFootballGuru, B-A-X Football Guru, is his Twitter address, Twitter handle. Don't forget to follow him on ProFootballGuru.com. We have been inundated, Kev, with Connecticut emails. I will promise you that I have looked at every one of them. I can't possibly share them all here before we're through with the program today, but I've picked a couple out. Just to give you a sampling, but I have all of you that have taken umbrage with my calling Connecticut out here, duly noted. But again, I can only give you the benefit of my own personal experience. However, I will tell you this, you know, as we suggested earlier, the needle has moved a little bit today. And I am impressed with the apparent amount of nutmeggers, since I couldn't come up with a name earlier, who are Patriots fans. Tim in Baltimore writes, remember when Kraft was thinking about moving the Pats to Hartford? Were they going to change their name to the Tri-State Pats? No, they would have still been called the New England Patriots, even though they were in Hartford. Checkmate. Tim, they were never moving to Hartford. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. They were never, never moving to Hartford. I know that, you know that, everybody knows that, including Mr. Kraft. Never.
Sound like Belichick with his Baltimore speech.
Yes.
In 2009 in the documentary.
Pete, they were never moving to Hartford.
They would have gone to Providence before Hartford.
They would have. And they weren't going to Providence either.
If only Cianci could come up with more bribe money, they would have been.
That's exactly right. Well, it's because
by rights, they should be playing. Buddy Cianci, should be playing
Buddy
anyway.
Cianci and Lincoln Allman, the governor at the time, couldn't stand each other. If they stood each other a little bit, then they would have worked together, and the Patriots would be in Hartford. I mean, would be in Providence.
If Buddy was the head politician in Boston right now, you know what
it would have gotten done.
Red Sox and Patriots would both be playing in Southie.
Probably so. Probably beautiful.
Not that this isn't beautiful here, but.
Todd in Utah says, love the show, but I have to disagree. I grew up on the island of Newfoundland. I have a lot of family from Connecticut that would send me Pats gear at a young age. Been a Pats fan ever since. I am as well a Bruins fan. And he says, Montreal sucks. Well, good for you. To see the Lombardi next to the Stanley Cup would be awesome. That's from Todd in Utah. couple of others here talking about Boston, New York fans, which is great. Here's another one from a Patriots and a Yankees fan, which is an odd bird. And I've heard from about a half a dozen of these people today, Pete. And the only thing I can come to a conclusion with is that something must have happened in the incubation process while they were being spawned by their parents, and some haywire just kind of, you know, some electric charge happened, and it just made them freaks.
I agree.
I don't know.
And I'd like to know the age groups of some of these guys. We know the history about why the Giants, there's a lot of Giants fans in New England, because the Patriots were not on television back in the day. And I get that part. I also know why there's a lot of Yankee fans in New England. It has a lot to do with, and I'm one, an Italian-American, even though I'm a huge Red Sox fan. But they were just were not, you know, the Red Sox were portrayed as a very, how should we say, very WASPy type of team.
And
the Yankees were not, and that's the reason why. Everybody knows. There's no
secret.
That's the way it was.
Yeah, it's the way it is, right.
The Giants basically was a television thing.
Yeah.
Patriots weren't on TV, Giants were.
Well, and that's because the Giants existed well in advance of 1960 when the Patriots were formed. So that's why we have Giants fans in New England. It comes from familial ties.
I can deal with the Giants fans in New England. That are like 45, I'm 44, so even
I think you have to be
plus.
In your 40s beyond.
Yeah, I think you have to be beyond in your
Because if you're shy of your 40s and you say you're a Giants fan, you're totally a bandwagon fan.
And most of the older guys that are Giants fans are Patriot fans, too. A lot of them are both. I can understand
good
that.
Good friend of mine who listens to this show regularly is that way. But he's a Giants fan first because that's the way his dad was. And I understand that.
That I get. I respect that.
Yeah.
I don't understand the people that grow up around here who end up – Connecticut's a little different. They get their own little whatever. The little separate equator over there.
That was the whole purpose of my conversation and the show today.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's split down the middle, and I don't understand how people are Giants fans and then Red Sox fans that are less than 45 years old. That baffles me.
That doesn't make any sense. Here's one from Peter who says, "I'm a Patriots and Yankee fan from Brantford, a few miles east of New Haven." You're weird. Wally says, Yankee and Patriot fan? That's like matter and antimatter colliding. Even my cat is rearing back from that. And he says, I live in Fort Lauderdale, but born in Mass. Let's see what else we have here. Chris in Plainville, he said, called in and checked out the Connecticut license plate with a New England pride. There's tons of us out here. Give us some credit, bro. All right, I'll give you some credit, but I still don't trust. Let's see. What else? I had one or two others here that I want to... Oh, Dave in West Virginia. John, I was raised in Hartford, have always considered myself a New Englander. Pats, Sox, Celtics, Whalers for life. I have resided in West Virginia for over a decade, but still think of Connecticut as home. Interesting. Douglas. John, you made an extremely valid point on being a fan by addition. I myself, as a namesake states, grew up as a Cowboys fan, hence the catch and the Montana Brady references that make it virtually impossible for me to show myself outwardly as a Patriots fan at home or at work. Having said that, I've been a Pats fan since 85. I couldn't stand the bravado of the Bears, found myself rooting for the Patriots, and have been doing so ever since. I admit to being a Patriots fan by addition, though, as you find yourself. So, my brother, welcome aboard, Douglas from Texas. Douglas, you the man. You absolutely the man. Thank you. And I really appreciate.
85, huh?
Really appreciate. Yeah. Well, you know what? I became a Sox fan, Pete, in 86, the moment that I saw the ball go through Buckner's legs. I have said that story many times.
I haven't heard that story. You were here before that. Was this before?
No.
Was this before the Boy Scout story in Wyoming?
No, no. No, this was I was in TV. I was working in television in San Antonio.
Oh, that's right.
In 86.
Oh, I was forgetting. When'd you get here?
I got here in 88.
88. Okay.
And I'd always follow the Sox as a fan because, you know,
Texas Rangers and Houston Astros.
Well, really, yeah. I was a Ranger fan because the Rangers came to Texas in 72, 73. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, but before that, I actually would, you know, listen to the Astros games and or the St. Louis Cardinals games because there was no other team closer. But
so when you were 8, 9 years old, what team were you rooting for?
I didn't really have a favorite Major League Baseball team.
That sucks.
Yeah, I know. Because we didn't have one.
Well, you had. Yeah, you did. You
no,
had.
We didn't. We didn't have one when I was 8 or 9. I listened on my grandfather's old civil defense radio to St. Louis Cardinals games on Camo X.
Yes, because they get into
it. And then I would follow a little bit of the Astros because, you know, that was while they were the Colt 45s or actually when they first became the Astros. And so that was cool. And so, but we couldn't listen to the games. They weren't on local radio up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So I would listen to what games I could hear, and I would pick up KMOX before I would pick up KTRH. Yeah.
And I'm sure Jack Buck had a big influence on you.
Jack Buck had a huge influence in my early life.
Me too. One of the greatest of all time.
Rangers came into town. Yeah. Great stuff. Loved it. Became a Ranger fan immediately. But I was never really a Major League Baseball fan. I followed the Sox because I loved Carlton Fisk. I loved Yaz. I loved Ted Williams. Three of the greatest players, especially their positions, to play in Major League Baseball
history.
How
did you not end up following, because you're kind of in a neutral area, the Yankees or another team?
I didn't like the Yankees then. I didn't like the Yankees then. I just didn't. I thought they were obnoxious. Reggie Jackson.
Uh-huh.
I just didn't like
that.
I just, you know, Reggie rubbed me the wrong way. Was he a great player? Was he Mr. October? Absolutely. I just didn't like the bravado. Didn't like it. Didn't care for it.
Interesting.
So, I mean, I was anti-Yankee before I was ever pro-Red Sox. I'll give you that.
But back then, I'm sure you weren't alone. There wasn't a lot of baseball, probably pure fans in Texas back then.
Well, there were, but it wasn't as passionate as it is here. Because it just hasn't existed there as it like it has existed here.
I understand that, but that's got to be tough.
Well, you know, Texas is a football state.
Oh,
Pete,
that's
right?
What I'm saying.
I mean, I grew up a Cowboy fan, and yep. I'm you know, Longhorn alum, and it was always Texas versus Oklahoma, and Texas versus Texas A&M, and everybody else came second. You know, and that's just the way it's always been.
Yeah,
it's just based on where you grew up and the teams you were with. But I became a Sox fan the moment that the ball rolled through Billy Buck's legs because the news anchor I was with, who was a Rhode Island native, by the way, we watched the game together in the studio, and I saw the absolute horror on his face and the pain that he suffered with.
Not sure what you mean. Not sure what you mean.
Now, liar.
The big question
you lying.
Is, what hockey team did you root for when you were a young lad?
Okay. Here you
go.
You
didn't care.
Detroit Red Wings. And the reason I did is because they were the parent team of the farm team that played in Fort Worth.
Oh.
So I rooted for the Red Wings. And believe it or not, after that, the Islanders, when the affiliation changed.
See, the Rhode Island Reds were affiliated with the New York Rangers at the time.
So that's why you have Ranger fans in Rhode Island.
Some, yeah, but not a lot. I never
Well, not anymore, anyway.
I always separated the two.
Not as much.
My dad took me a couple of Rhode Island Reds games when I was a kid. Rick Middleton was on that team.
Sure.
Back in the day.
Sure. But I've become a Bruins fan, and I've been a Bruins fan for a number of years, and I've always been, you know, Sox and Patriots fan. I have to admit, and I admitted it on the show today, I've never really been a Celtics fan. And part of that is because having lived where I've lived and having worked in the NBA for a number of years, you know, it just, you know, we were always taught, you know, it's always a good day to beat the Celtics. You know, you remember I worked for the Spurs for 6 years.
Of course. So I can understand that. That's some nice teams back then, some nice players.
Yeah.
You
George
know,
Gervin.
Back at George Gervin.
Gilmore.
Artis Gilmore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they never could get quite over the hump.
No, they couldn't.
They were close.
It was always because two guys named Johnson and Jabbar were always in the way.
Yeah, they were okay. You know, they were okay.
Always in the way. All right, I've intruded on your time. What's coming up?
The usual stuff. You know, it's all about the fans this week for the most part. It's all, Patriots and Giants, and I'm already tired. I challenged Rob Parker today via Twitter three times and by Facebook to come on the show and debate me, because the man has just embarrassed himself beyond belief. And I'm a firm believer, you know this, I'm tired of nobody challenging these ESPN people. And NFL Network is almost as bad, but not quite as bad. But ESPN people are worse. And if you're going to have a guy like Rob Parker on First Take, I don't understand why ESPN, for great theater, great drama, get Teddy Bruschi on there. He's working for your network now. Let's, you know, you want to debate it seriously, let's debate it seriously. Rob Parker, I don't think, really gives a crap. I think he throws crap up against the wall and see what sticks. And I'm tired of it. I mean, I've gotten fan requests for it. So, and during his show today on First Take, he's like, yeah, I'm tired of all the Boston fans saying they hate on me. Well, you know what? It's not a question of what you pick on or against the Patriots. That's not the problem. The problem is he's so inconsistent. And they play back things that he said in the past, not just him, other people. It's just that the hypocrisy amazes me. I don't know how these people have jobs. It amazes me.
All right, Pete's coming up. Pete's coming up. We'll be back same patch time, same patch channel next Tuesday. PFW's in Indianapolis. Mr. Shepard and I hold down the fort here at Gillette.
Tuesday through Thursday. Hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.